You know you want to be there. A pile of pastors, a mountain of musicians, a boatload of laity, all passionate about worship, gathered together on the beautiful campus of Concordia University, Nebraska, this coming July, the 28th through the 31st. Comfort, comfort ye my people, preaching, praying, and singing the comfort of Christ to the troubled conscience and the broken heart. John Kleinick, Paul Solek, Betsy Werner, Brian Wolfmiller, Robin Lever, and the Stash himself, President Matthew Harrison. Oh yeah, and two other guys named Wilkin and Whedon, along with a whole pile of your favorite Issues Etc. guests. Did I mention that the registration cost starts at just $175? Or that full-time students, including seminarians and deaconess students, pay just $25 registration? Yeah, seriously. I told you, you want to be there. For more information, click the link, Comfort Comfort, on the Issues Etc. homepage, issuesetc.org.
March 1 yard, 1 foot for the same sex to get married, and they're taking wrong and making it right, and taking right, making it wrong.
Those of us who are inspired by Judeo-Christian values, we're not seeking to sit in judgment of anyone. But we know that there are fundamental truths proven through thousands of years of human history.
I refer to Joel Osteen's theology of the tyranny of positive thinking, where everybody must say positive things and think positive thoughts in order to be blessed by God.
That's the difference between preaching about Christ, where you basically just cut them apart and use them however you see fit, versus preaching Christ.
Pro Football Hall of Fame wives, love Issues, etc.
We know that there are economic systems that run seriously afoul of Christian beliefs, of the basic worldview, and of specific teachings of Holy Scripture. And then there are those economic systems that seem to fit a little better with Christianity, its worldview, and what Scripture has to say about possessions, about the neighbor, about the poor, about the rich. Now, many Christians think capitalism fits best. Now, capitalism may fit well, but does it fit best? Does it create its own kind of tension with sincere biblical Christian belief? And can we resolve that tension? Is God a capitalist? Was Jesus a capitalist? He certainly wasn't a communist, but does that make him a capitalist? A little bit later here on Monday, June the 30th, we're going to be talking about Christianity and capitalism. Colleen Carroll Campbell will be back with us after a long hiatus. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in. Before we talk with Colleen, we'll go through listener email, answer some of your questions, and respond to some of your comments there in listener email. In the second hour of the program on this Monday afternoon, we're going to talk about St. Louis City's challenge to Missouri's same-sex marriage ban. What they simply did was start issuing same-sex marriage license, and then they stopped. What's this all about? Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse of the Ruth Institute will join us to talk about that in hour two, along with the story of an appellate court ruling against Utah's gay marriage ban. This may signal the path to the Supreme Court. Pastor Tom Baker will be with us in the latter part of the second hour to teach a Sunday school lesson, the healing of Naaman the Syrian in 2 Kings chapter 5. Pastor Tom Baker of Long Gospel in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. In the meantime, it's listener email.
Do you have your suntan lotion packed?
No, I don't. I hadn't even thought about that. I don't plan on spending a lot of time in the sun. I'm going to Gainesville. Is it Gainesville, Florida? Is that where I'm going? Higher Things, that great youth organization, is having the first of its summer conferences down there in Gainesville, Florida. So I'm going to be traveling down there doing the first plenary speaker over 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday this week. And I think I'm paired with Pastor George Borghardt. He's going to do the other two plenary presentations down there. The theme is crucified, and I'm going to be doing the crucifixion as law and the crucifixion as gospel.
Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah. Good thing I have George later in the week. I imagine the kids get a little – I've actually been through a few of these, but Mr. Energy can come on Wednesday and Thursday, or
when everybody's tired.
When everybody's tired, exactly.
Yeah, I wouldn't describe myself as Mr. Energy. Mr. Something, but not Energy. So they're going to need an injection of George Borghardt's kind of, how would you describe that? That enthusiasm.
Infectious?
Infectious?
I don't know.
I was thinking insane enthusiasm.
I think it's just...
It works.
It's just the root cause of drinking too much Diet Coke. The byproduct.
Oh, is he one of those?
Oh, big Diet Coke guy.
Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah. Okay, well, that explains everything then. That explains everything. No, I'm looking forward to being down there in Florida and then getting back for a very, very, very short Issues Etc. week, and which will consist of a live show on Thursday with me back in the seat, and then the 4th of July. Coming around at the end of the week.
Yes, we'll be on vacation. Dr. Ken Sherb will be sitting in your seat tomorrow hosting the show.
He'll actually be sitting in his seat.
That's right.
Doing my job.
That's right, right. Exactly. He'll be in Moberly, Missouri hosting the show. Craig and I will still be here. Todd will be in Gainesville, Florida.
And somehow we're planning on having like a business meeting.
Yes, we're going to try to do
the three of us having a business meeting in the course of all of this.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Well, if we didn't have the internet, none of this would be happening, you know.
Thank
if we
God
didn't
for
have
the internet.
The internet. The ability to connect, speaking of internet and the ability to connect, listener email.
This comes from Brian. He says, in your interview with Dr. Ed Grimmenstein, a question was asked of the difference between preaching Christ and preaching about Christ. I did not understand his answer. Can you please answer the question in a different way? I'd really like to understand the difference. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the email, Brian.
Well, first of all, let's go back to how Dr. Grimmenstein answered the question himself. And actually, that was a theme that ran through our entire conversation. That was a Friday a couple weeks ago as we were kicking off the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. We did a live broadcast there from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, and our first guest in that live broadcast was Dr. Ed Grimmenstein. And he actually he's only one of two people in our circle, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, who has an earned doctorate in homiletics. That is a fancy word for sermon making, for preaching. The other one being Dr. Carl Fakencher, another regular guest here on the program. And his answer to the question, and this is something I'm very keen on, I'm very interested in, the difference between, I think there are problems with Christian preaching today, and they're twofold. One is preaching the Christian rather than the Christ. That's the biggest problem we face. That's a broad problem across denominational lines. It is one that is especially infected evangelicalism today. So you go in on Sunday morning, you'll hear a 45-minute sermon that is essentially about you, your life, your problems, and sad to say, a lot of times presents you as the solution to your own problem. You're both the source of and the solution to your own problems. That's preaching the Christian rather than the Christ. A lot of Christian living preaching, principles for living, rules for living, how-to Christianity falls directly in this category of preaching the Christian rather than the Christ. You say, what's wrong with that? Well, the church has not been sent to preach the Christian. The church has been sent to, as Jesus says himself, I think Luke chapter 24, repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name, Jesus' name, to all the world. That's the task that the church has been given, not to preach the Christian, but the Christ. The other problem in this crisis of preaching that we face today, especially in America, is preachers, and this is a more subtle problem, and I do not blame you for not fully grasping Dr. Grimmenstein's answer, because it is a far more subtle problem, and that is preaching about Christ rather than preaching Christ. Now, already you see that we have a preposition that needs some explanation. Dr. Grimmenstein's answer to that, you know, saying basically what's the difference between preaching about Christ versus preaching Christ, what we are headed toward, what we want is preaching Christ, not preaching about Christ. You say, well, what's wrong with that? His illustration was that of a puppy. It was kind of a gruesome illustration, but I think it was very useful. He said, look, I want to learn about this puppy. Now, I could take that puppy, kill it, put it on a dissection table, open it up, dissect the puppy, look inside, see what the puppy's made up of, and learn about the puppy that way. I could measure the puppy. I could identify and classify all of its parts. I would have an intimate knowledge of the puppy of a kind by doing that, right? But in the end, as he said, you got a dead puppy. Or, he said, if I wanted to learn about that puppy, I could throw that puppy a ball and let that puppy chase the ball and watch that puppy eat his food and drink his water and play and sleep and lick my face and curl up in my lap. And he says that's the difference between learning or preaching about Christ, where you put them on the table, cut them up, and take them apart into its various useful components as you see fit. That's the key here, as you see fit, as opposed to preaching Christ, where the living Christ does what he does through preaching. See, are we here to talk about Jesus, or are we here to let Jesus talk? That's the way I like to think about it on Sunday morning. I am not in the pulpit to talk about Jesus. I'm there to let Jesus talk. And there's a huge difference between the two. Preaching does something. It isn't primarily a way of conveying information about Jesus. It is a way of conveying Jesus. That's why we talk about preaching Christ. And we could just as well say letting Christ preach through the text. So there's the difference. One, you learn something. There's nothing wrong with that. You learn something. You get some information. But you may get through an entire sermon about Jesus, and Jesus has never done through that sermon what he wants to do, which is absolve you of all your sins, forgive you, assure you of eternal life and salvation by his death and resurrection. That's the difference. I hope that answer helps. When we come back, a little more of your listener email on this Monday, June the 30th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
This is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
We're churchmen, not company men. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio. First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas. Concordia Lutheran, Sikeston, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois, Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama, and Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. IssuesETC.org. Click support. The Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. On this Monday afternoon, June the 30th, we're going through listener email for the first 45 minutes or so of the program. It is the last day of June, the last day for this book to be our Issues, Etc. book of the month, Hello, My Name is Single, by Adrienne Dorr Hyens. She treats singlehood, singleness, as a Christian vocation. I think that's exactly the way to approach it. It's not a deficit in your life. It is a calling in your life. It may last the rest of your life, but for most, it won't. It will be a temporary vocation. But while in that vocation, it brings its own cross. It brings its own temptations. It brings its own way of how God, through that vocation, through those crosses, strengthens one's faith. It brings its own way of drawing you closer to the means of grace, to what we were talking about before the break, the preaching of Christ and his sacraments. All that, this is a rich book, all that you'll find in this book. The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for June. Hello, My Name is Single, How I Learned to Ignore the World's Expectations and Trust God by Adrian Dorr-Heinz. Find it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House. You can call in July, August, whenever you want to call. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040.
Email from David. He listens in Houston, Texas. What is the Lutheran view of speaking in tongues? I have family that believes if you're not babbling in some unknown tongue, then your salvation is in question.
Okay, first of all, let's say that the Lutheran view is, and this has to be said in this age where everyone's view is considered equally valid and equally true, the Lutheran view is the right view. The Lutheran view is the biblical Christian view. So it's not shared only by Lutherans. That's something we ought to note. This is a view shared by the majority of Christians in the world. At least it just so happens to be. Now, what do we say about tongues? God gave them. God gave this gift of tongues. There is no doubt about it. It is a gift. That is, it's not something you can take or acquire for yourself. It is given, like all the gifts that God gives, freely by God through for the sake of Christ. And it's given by God to individual Christians where he wishes, when he wills. And so that is to say, this is not a question of what God can or can't do. Let's sweep that aside. When I say that tongues is no longer the way, and I will, tongues is no longer the way that God ordinarily speaks to his church, I am not saying that God can't do it. I'm saying he doesn't, and he hasn't promised to do it. That's what I'm saying. So it's not a question of what God can or can't do. We say first that God gave them. He gave them to his apostles there at Pentecost. Although it's interesting to note that after the apostles speak in tongues on Pentecost Day, there is not, with the exception of St. Paul, there is not another account of the apostles speaking in tongues ever again. That's not to say they didn't, but the book of Acts never notes that they speak in tongues again, the apostles themselves. We would be safe in saying that we'd be safe in trying to make a case, not a ironclad case, but we could say that given the evidence from the book of Acts and the rest of the New Testament, with the exception of St. Paul, who says, I speak in tongues more than any of you, the apostles are not given the gift of tongues again after Pentecost Day. It appears to be a gift given to them, each of them, once that day and not repeated. Could they have spoken in tongues and the book of Acts doesn't record it? Sure. That's a possibility, but there's no evidence for that. Zero evidence for that. Now, so it was given by God. It was also given by God to believers, especially Gentile believers, when those apostles began to go to Gentiles. It was given in conjunction with baptism, either before or after, sometimes during baptism. It was given then, it appears, as a sign to both the apostles and these new Gentile believers that they were, in fact, Christians just like the Jewish Christians. Remember, the question here is, are they even going to be worthy recipients of the gospel? Should we even be trying to make Christians of them? And the answer from the Holy Spirit, one of the indications he gives is yes, because the same gift that the apostles received on Pentecost is given to the Gentiles when they receive the Holy Spirit. There you go. Does this mean that every giving of the Holy Spirit is accompanied by tongues, which is what the Pentecostals, Assemblies of God, many charismatics believe? If you got the Holy Spirit, you got tongues. That's not what it says, and nowhere at all in Scripture does it say this. By the time you get to Paul writing to the Corinthians, tongues are a problem. They're still a gift. He acknowledges that they are a gift, but they are a gift that the Corinthians are abusing. And so what Paul says is, look, if you guys are going to use this, you guys are going to be receiving this gift, which they obviously are. There's a way to receive it rightly, decently, and in order. And he says that is, not everybody talks at once. Our God is not a God of confusion, but of order. And when one speaks one at a time, there must be interpretation. That is, the tongue that was spoken must be interpreted in an intelligible language for everyone to hear. Otherwise, he says, keep your mouth shut. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, he says. That's the principle that he uses there. Just because you think you want to speak in tongues doesn't mean you have to. And if there is no interpretation, if there's no one to interpret, keep it to yourself. That's a gift the Holy Spirit has given you, and it's not for everybody. And if not everyone can share in it, you have no business speaking. That is what the Bible says about tongues. So, did God give tongues? Yes. Can he? Yes. Does he now give tongues? I think there's a case to be made to say no. Again, not that he can't, but that he doesn't and he hasn't promised to. St. Paul says that tongues will cease. I don't see how you explain that unless they cease. And I think as a general principle, reading the New Testament, we find that God would speak to us solely through the written word, through Scripture. That new revelations are not to be expected or even welcomed. Scripture is God's final word. That goes along with the principle of Jesus is God's final word. If Jesus is God's final word, and he left to us by inspiration of his Holy Spirit, as inspired as any tongues were on the day of Pentecost, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, his written word, the Scriptures, as even the Scriptures themselves call themselves, then we ought to look there. Now, if you find someone speaking in tongues, first you got to say, is there interpretation? If there isn't, don't listen. It's that kind of thing is forbidden by the apostle. Speaking in tongues without interpretation. It's forbidden. Keep your mouth shut. If there is an interpretation, then you must say, all right, this might be an exception to the rule where the Spirit is giving this gift for this time and place to this individual, not universally to everybody who has the Holy Spirit. What did that tongue say? And if it does not fit with Holy Scripture, if it adds to, detracts from, or introduces something new or contradicts Scripture, it's not the Holy Spirit. I don't know what it is. But it's not the Holy Spirit giving that gift. I think that's a pretty fair, accurate description of what the biblical view of tongues is. When we come back, we're going to have a little bit more listener email on this Monday afternoon, June the 30th. Then Colleen Carroll Campbell will join us to talk about Christianity and capitalism to round off this first hour. I'm sure the operator will be glad to put you through, so dial zero for assistance if this all confuses you. So tell me why.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Duluth, Minnesota would like to invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 9:30. Whether you are visiting our beautiful city or live here, we have liturgical worship that shares Jesus with you. We're easy to find at 20th Avenue East and Superior Street, and also offer Bible classes at 8:25 Sunday mornings with Sunday school September through May. Check out our website for other Bible study times, visit or call 218-724-2500.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
You know you want to be there. A pile of pastors, a mountain of musicians, a boatload of laity, all passionate about worship, gathered together on the beautiful campus of Concordia University, Nebraska, this coming July, the 28th through the 31st. Comfort, comfort ye my people, preaching, praying, and singing the comfort of Christ to the troubled conscience and the broken heart. John Kleinick, Paul Solek, Betsy Werner, Brian Wolfmiller, Robin Lever, and the Stash himself, President Matthew Harrison. Oh yeah, and two other guys named Wilkin and Whedon, along with a whole pile of your favorite Issues Etc. guests. Did I mention that the registration cost starts at just $175? Or that full-time students, including seminarians and deaconess students, pay just $25 registration? Yeah, seriously. I told you, you want to be there. For more information, click the link, Comfort Comfort, on the Issues Etc. homepage, issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email on this Monday afternoon, June the 30th. Colleen Carroll Campbell will be with us to talk Christianity and capitalism to round off the first hour. Second hour, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris of the Ruth Institute will join us to talk about St. Louis City's kind of sneaky challenge to Missouri's same-sex marriage ban. They decided for a couple hours late last week to issue same-sex marriage licenses, and I think they're trying to build a case of some kind. Also, an appellate court ruling against Utah's gay marriage ban, and then Pastor Tom Baker will be teaching a Sunday school lesson with us in 2 Kings chapter 5, the healing of Naaman the Syrian.
This comes from Charles in California. When I first started leaving charismatic theology, I attempted to reach out to my friends involved in IHOP, J-HOP, and their pro-life ministry, Bound for Life. I would also go to their events and talk to people there about the dangerous teachings and practices that were going on and try to point them to the gospel. But are laity actually called to do this? Should we? Obviously, we are called to share the gospel, but while there are many examples in the Bible of those in the ministry being called to correct false teachings, I can't seem to find laity being called to do so. Thanks for the email and thanks for listening in California, Charles.
Well, I would put it this way. There's some things you leave to the professionals, and there's some things that every Christian is more or less qualified to do by being a Christian. Okay, so don't get me wrong here. The lay people are called within their vocations, that is, within the station life that God has given them, whatever that may be, truck driver, butcher, baker, candlestick maker, to be witnesses to Christ as opportunity arises. They are not professional evangelists. They're not called to be evangelists in the bakery or evangelists in their truck or evangelists in the candlestick making factory. They're called to be candlestick makers, bakers, and truck drivers, and while they're consistent witnesses to Jesus Christ. You see what I'm saying? They're called to do a job. And in the course of doing that job, they will encounter neighbors with whom they have opportunity to bear witness to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins and eternal life in his name. And I think exactly parallel to that, Christians are all called to be apologists. That's what you're talking about. Apologists, that is, to be ready to give a defense for the hope that is in you, that is, and then also to be able to tear down the strongholds of ideas that raise themselves up against the truth of God's word, as the apostle will say. Now, does that mean that the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker will, in the course of their vocation, have opportunity to do that? Yeah. In fact, maybe more water cooler conversation in the apologist vein than even in the evangelist vein. But your skill at this will be different. Just because you're called to do a thing doesn't mean you're called to do it every time the opportunity presents itself. So, You want to correct former family members or former friends or colleagues with regard to the errors that they still find themselves in. And I would say, insofar as you can, then you do. But that doesn't mean you are on a mission from God to convince them of the error of their ways. God has his own way of doing this. You're not, what I'm saying is you're not saddled with the sole responsibility for doing this. Where you can, when you can, in only insofar as you can, then you try to gently reprove, correct, do all those things that Holy Scripture calls every Christian to do. There may be need for a professional to do this, and that's why we have professional apologists. I'm not one of them, but I talk with a lot of them, and they are the ones who can write the books. They're the ones who can do the analysis of these particular teachings. They're the ones who can take them apart and put them back together and explain where they're wrong based upon Holy Scripture. And those resources might be of good use to you. Maybe you talk about a charismatic Assemblies of God kind of errors. To pick up a good book written against the errors of the charismatic movement. I can't think of one right off the top of my head, but I'm sure you could find one that would you're calling a professional to help you do your job. But I wouldn't overburden yourself with the idea. Yes, you're called to do it where the opportunity arises within your vocation. If you say, I'm going to start a ministry of going back to the old IHOP, that is the International House of Prayer, and correcting them, then you're stepping outside your vocation. But if you run to one of your old IHOP friends and the conversation starts going in that direction, that's a pretty sure indication that the opportunity has come. It may last 5 minutes, it may last 5 hours, but you do whatever you can when you can.
And if you're looking for some great resources regarding charismatic related issues, Discernment Ministries International, Bob and Tracy Lico's organization in Michigan, it's discernmentministriesinternational.org or discernment.org, I think it is what it is.
Excellent.
There's an email comes from, this is an interesting question. It comes from Carol. Carol wants to know, she said she's glad that we have the conference. She says, I'm happy to hear the DVD from the Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference is available. Will it play on a regular movie-type machine? I do not have a computer, says Carol.
That's a great question, and the answer is I don't know. You can try. Now, if you get the DVD, it's an audio DVD. It's not a video DVD. An audio DVD of the entire Issues, Etc. Making the conference, and it won't play in the machines that you have. Email us right away. We will try to make it right by either reimbursing you or trying to find a way that you can access that. To my knowledge, haven't had any complaints from the previous year's audio DVD of people not being able to access the audio. So try, and if it doesn't work, contact us immediately. Although nowadays, with the more sophisticated multiplayers, they play CDs, they play DVDs, they play Blu-ray, they play just about anything. If you have one of the newer, like within the last 3 years, machines, probably will play. It certainly will play on your computer. If you don't have a computer, try it in your machine. Contact if you can't. By the way, anybody can get the Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference DVD for a donation of $300 to Issues, Etc. before Labor Day. The conference attendees receive the audio DVD for a contribution of $25. We're making it fair for people who spent, in a lot of cases, hundreds of dollars to come to attend the conference there. Now, you can order it online. Just click the Making the Case Conference DVD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can also order the audio DVD by check. Make your check payable to Issues, Etc. Send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And make sure you put Conference DVD or DVD in the memo line of your check, and then we'll know that contribution is for that. So for conference attendees this year, $25 for everybody else. The audio DVD of the entire conference, you don't miss a thing, except for Wilkins' inane babbling between sessions. You don't miss a thing for a contribution to Issues, Etc. of $300.
Quick final email from Tamara. She says, a number of years ago, there was an article in the Issues, Etc. journal about legalism versus license. I was trying to find it online for a friend. It can't seem to pull any old journals up.
We recently had a meltdown of our website that has been corrected, but one of the things that has not yet been reinstated is our publications page, where you would have found back issues of the Issues, Etc. journal for absolutely free. We're working on getting that publications page back up. If you've got any back issues or back articles from the past that you'd like for us to send you in the meantime, I'll send them to you absolutely free. I got them all sitting in my laptop, and I'm happy to send them to you. That legalism and license one will be back up as well. And I think that will be the last piece of the puzzle in reconstructing our website that went down one morning a couple weeks ago. We had it up actually by the end of the day, but we've been, it's a work in progress. We're still getting it back. And the publications page has not disappeared. It will return. It's just taken a little more effort than we initially thought. When we come back on this Monday afternoon, June the 30th, we're going to talk Christianity and capitalism, the tension that exists between the two. Colin Carroll Campbell will be our guest.
The Word of God does what it says. Language is not a barrier to God's Word. Culture is not a barrier to God's Word.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, speaking at the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Am I saying that we shouldn't pay attention to these things? No, I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying we should stop believing that those things are what matter. What matters is the content of Holy Scripture. The New Testament and what it has to do with us is not a problem of our linguistics today. It's a problem of our faith that the Word of God is actually there to be believed.
You can listen to Pastor Fisk's presentation and teachings by Matt Harrison, Craig Parton, Chris Roseborough, Will Wheaton, and Al Schmidt on an audio DVD from the 2014 Making the Case Conference. For a donation of $300 to Issues, Etc. before Labor Day, we'll send you this audio DVD. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Your church service, sanctuary, and congregation are all unique. So why settle for low-quality recordings when your organist is unavailable? The Substitute Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. Log on to churchmusicsolutions.com and request a free demo kit to allow you and your members to use the Substitute Organist Service without obligation and without a sales pitch. Keep singing with Church Music Solutions.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues, Etc. journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues, Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues, Etc. journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues, Etc.